is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The Silicon Valley Bank triggering an anxiety around the world, including London. And I welcome Joseph Sternberg, a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics based in London, observing what started in California didn't stay in California. Joe, a very good evening to you. The President of the United States, making announcements in these last hours to the American people about the Silicon Valley Bank failure, was taken over by federal regulators and California regulators as of during business hours on Friday just past. The president assured us the banking system is safe and there will be no bailout, as happened in 2008, to the disdain of many political voices ever since. In your measure, the president, when he said there would be no bailout and that banking was safe, did he have all the information he needed to be certain about that, or was that aspirational? Good evening to you, Joe.
Hi, John. Well, I mean, we will see over time how safe the banking system is. I actually do think that there's very good reason to believe that the banks are significantly safer than they were in 2008. So he may very well be correct about that. But in terms of him claiming that there's not a bailout, well, there already has been one big bailout in the Silicon Valley Bank, and that was when the federal government, via the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, has extended deposit insurance guarantees to all of Silicon Valley Bank's depositors, including those who had deposit accounts well in excess of the normal legal $250,000 limit on federal insurance for these accounts. And people should make no mistake that that represents a substantial bailout. I mean, it is certainly not the kind of arrangement that you saw in 2008, where the beneficiaries tended to be the shareholders of the banks and various of the creditors. But this is still a really significant government intervention, because you historically have assumed that big depositors should be sophisticated enough that they will conduct due diligence on the banks where they are placing large deposits, and that they also will manage their own risk as companies by placing deposits in a variety of different banks. And it really is going to stick in the craw of a lot of taxpayers, I think, if you have a taxpayer backstopped agency like the FDIC stepping in basically to protect the interests of wealthy venture capital investors and the tech startups that they fund, who all should have known better and been much more careful, in the course of this non-bailout that we're apparently not doing while we're doing it.
In the first reporting of the Silicon Valley Bank, which I had never heard of, I know Silicon Valley, I know what a bank is, but I didn't know that there was something called the SVB. In the first iteration explanation, it presented the people most at risk were innovators, entrepreneurs, tech startups, unicorns, very vulnerable. Now I learned that one firm, hardly a startup, was keeping $3.2 billion in its account in SVB. We're guaranteeing to make whole someone who is a billionaire or a company that was with the billions. That is reckless, to say the least, Joe. I don't think the American people understand these are not 25-year-olds with dreams. These are major corporations. But it is Silicon Valley, and I understand we give a pass. The other generalization I read, Joe, is that this is a rich person's bank. I can't tell at this point whether that's significant or not, but it is striking to me that exceptions are being made, including, I believe they're still trying to sell the bank in pieces. We'll talk about one of those pieces in the UK momentarily. Is this a tension because it's a threat to the system? In other words, are we learning that there is no such thing as too small to fail? Is that what we're learning here, Joe? They're bailing out a bank that was the 16th largest in the country, hardly a money center bank. That was the explanation in 2008. Will the administration bail out any bank or just politically useful banks such as California?
Well, you have hit precisely on the problem there, John, because the there's no reason to believe that Silicon Valley Bank is a systemically important bank. I mean, it's the 16th largest bank in the U.S. It does have some unique characteristics compared to other banks of its size, one of it which is that it is kind of a rich person's bank. I mean, if you look at the structure of their deposits, a much higher proportion of their deposit base than normal are accounts that exceed the $250,000 normal insurance limit. So they have a much higher than usual proportion of very large deposit accounts, which would imply that you're dealing with a more sophisticated depositor base there. And all of their activity is concentrated in one industry because they do have this heavy concentration in providing banking services for the tech industry and startups in Silicon Valley. So it is really difficult for me to see at this point, and I'm not the only one who's having trouble seeing this, what exactly the systemic risks would have been. And it's not even clear exactly what the long-term risks to some of these depositors would have been, because, I mean, you have to remember that even if you don't get that 100% backstop from the government in an emergency, in a normal bank failure, the depositors can expect to get about 90 cents on the dollar of their money back at the end of the day. So, you know, uninsured depositors will typically end up taking a haircut, but it's not like they lose 100% of the money that they had in the bank, especially because it's not obvious that Silicon Valley Bank's problem is that it was ultimately insolvent, because they do have a substantial quantity of assets on their books. It's just that those assets were tied up in ways that made it very difficult for the bank to meet its immediate liquidity needs as people were trying to withdraw money. So what you are left with is this situation where taxpayers have needlessly been put on the hook for backstopping this 100% insurance guarantee that the FDIC is offering, and for no clear systemic reason. I mean, if you were ever going to let a bank fail, this would seem to be the one that you could allow to fail without having to worry about the broader ramifications. I mean, for heaven's sake, we're not talking about Citi or J.P. Morgan here.
A detail, Joe. It's a really complicated story how they got into this fix. It was either sloppy, asleep at the switch, they didn't have a risk manager for many months, or everybody does it and they got caught. They were looking to increase their yield nominally by buying treasury bonds in some fashion. My best understanding, I don't have the language. And because the Federal Reserve has been raising rates sharply during 22 and continues into 23, therefore, there were losses in its treasuries, and they were looking to fill the losses or make up by going to market. All of this is very complicated. And the reason I'm telling this complicated story that I don't understand is that it sounds to me like there was nothing special other than bad business, not the Federal Reserve, not the regulators. Well, maybe the regulator should have been sharp, but bad business. Isn't that the example that you would want to hold out is, you know, we protect our banks, we honor our banks, but when you're a bad businessman, you fail. Wouldn't letting Silicon Valley Bank fail and its depositors take the risk, wouldn't that be good for the rest of us? And wouldn't that not put the Federal Reserve in the fix that we'll discuss later?
Well, I mean, you would sure think so. Now, I mean, you don't want to completely let policymakers off the hook here, because, I mean, the fundamental problem is the one that you identified, and this is facing banks across the economy right now. They, you know, hold a lot of assets on their balance sheet, including various government bonds and mortgage-backed securities, which they hold precisely so that they can sell those assets very easily if they have a lot of demands for liquidity, you know, such as people withdrawing money from their deposit accounts. And, you know, the Fed has really complicated the task of managing these assets for a lot of banks, because the consequence of rapidly rising interest rates is that the value of the bonds falls. And so you end up with these problems where these bonds that the banks had bought as insurance to have on hand for a rainy day suddenly are worth less in the market than the bank thought that they would be. So that's one problem. And then if you have to recognize that unrealized loss on your financial statements, that can create difficulties for you as well. And then, Silicon Valley Bank layered on top of that a series of serious management errors in terms of how they dealt with these risks. For example, one route that they pursued appears to have been to try to place a lot of these bonds in a particular kind of pool on the balance sheet that would spare the bank from having to mark them to market, so they wouldn't have to recognize the losses that they were taking as bond prices fell. But the cost of that is that for regulatory reasons, they would then not be allowed to sell those banks, those bonds, if the bank needed to raise cash in a hurry. And so it ended up in a very unbalanced situation where it had a lot of its assets tied up in this way so that it couldn't access that liquidity. And then it seems not to have hedged against this interest rate risk to make sure that it would have cash available to meet the withdrawals that might pop up. So it is a management failure to deal with a problem that is common across the banking industry right now. And their regulator should have caught it. They're regulated by the California authorities and by the San Francisco Federal Reserve Bank. No one seems to have ever picked up the phone and said to them, hey, your deposits are growing at an extraordinary rate over the past year or so. What are you doing to make sure that you're actually going to be able to access the liquidity that you might need if people start making withdrawals?
In other words, nobody asked a hard question of a bank that was making bad decisions. And the consequence is systemic risk. Okay, we're going to move on to what appears to be a success story in London by the Sunak government with a small piece of the larger mystery of the Silicon Valley Bank. Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, he writes Political Economics, the column, and he's based in London. And this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Patrick.